They say if you want a healthy, lush lawn, then you should cut your grass high. And I find this to be true because my lawn is very lush and healthy, and the guy who cuts it is often very high. And you say, hey, what? First of all, ha ha, Hardy. Second, why don't you cut your own lawn? And, well, I gotta tell you, I don't really do drugs. And I have cut my lawn in the past, and this is what I find. I can't really handle it because I don't have a very good frustration level. I was mowing my lawn one time, and I got out the mower, my old handy old mower that I got from, I guess it was a hand-me-down or something from my grandfather. Said, this is the first mower ever that has a motor on it. I said, that's great, Grandpa. The motor doesn't run anything. It's just stuck on there. All right, that's beautiful, though. Vroom, vroom. It's still a real push mower, but at least I get that vroom, vroom sound. It wakes you up in the morning. Say, gosh, I know it's Sunday because I hear a leaf blower. That's how I know. I'm going to welcome the Sabbath with two strokes. Yeah, a two-stroke engine is a beautiful. It is the sound that the Lord loves. It wakes him up. Say, oh, I was sleeping the day away, says the Lord. But you woke me up, so I think I will smite a large area of the globe. Because, you put me off my sleep. I was having the mower out there one day, and I was trying to start it. And to start the mower, most mowers start with one of these gym exercises. It's called a lat row, single-arm lat rope pull row. I don't know why they do that. I guess a lot of people back in the day say, I'm mowing my lawn, but I want latissimus dorsi like a friggin' angel. I want wings like that. I want to look like, I don't know, Lee Haney. So I'm out there, I'm pulling on it, and you alternate arms and everything on it, and I can't get it going. Now, I don't understand. They've had the technology to start cars with a key for many, many years, but a mower, you still got to do this ripcord thing, and I really don't understand that. Well, you can't just press a button or something, but I don't know. We're not German. So I'm pulling this thing, won't start, and I'm getting madder and madder. My goal is to have the mower start so I can mow the lawn, just to point that out again. But see, what happens is you lose sight of that as you're going this job, and it's getting more and more frustrating and get more and more angry, and I'm pulling on it and I'm pulling on the rope, and finally I get so angry that I turn into young David Banner, a young teenage David Banner. Just not the Hulk, because I don't get that angry, but just a really frustrated young 14-year-old David Banner. I take that mower and I pick it up to, like, oh, I don't know, waist level or higher, and I toss it into a tree. I smash it into a tree in rage. Now, here's an interesting thing. It did not make the mower work. You say, oh, that was the last resort. Good for you. But no. You see, I was trying to kill the mower. I wanted the mower to work and to mow the lawn. And yet, in my frustration and rage, I tried to kill the very thing that I was trying to use to do the thing. You go home and make it better, that parable. I feel like I didn't write the ending very well. I didn't really write it. I'm just telling you a story about it. I wish I wrote my life stories. That'd be great. I could tell that. I have relatives that do that. I can tell you, you've memorized this story that you're telling over and over again. I wonder if there's anything true in it. You know, we tell stories over and over again. We forget if there's anything true in it. The other day, I was doing something. I use my glasses now. My eyes have become old. They say when your eyes are old, they get something called Presbyterianism. He said, I'm becoming more and more like, what am I, like Charlie Weaver or something, or what am I, Will Rogers. Oh, I'm so ashamed of myself. I know it's called presbyoptia. I don't know why I felt the need to do that, make a Presbyterian joke. Oh, I got that in my bathroom. The big book of Presbyterian jokes. People used to require less of their humor, I think. It used to be drier, like wine. People need lots of sweet humor. Nowadays is more like Mogan David, where it used to be like a fine claret or something like that. I don't know. That's not true either. You're saying the Three Stooges? Three Stooges, what is that? That's just a beer with friends, I guess, comedy-wise. Oh, but I tell you, I was walking around with my glasses that I need because of my presbyoptia. My eyes have changed shape. They used to be perfectly round like an egg, and now they're oval like a racquetball. And I can't see, apparently, as my eyes change, and I can't read. So I found, you know, a few years ago, I started needing reading glasses. And the reading glasses would read for me, and then they'd tell me all about it. What'd you read? Oh, it's hard to sum up. They'd say stuff like that. It's funny, though. All right, well, thanks. I'd like some more details. I'm tired. I'll tell you later. So you got to get good reading glasses. So I found a really good pair that was a little more responsive to my needs. And so I love them. And they make me look like Churchill. See, how is that? Well, because they have this big sack of fat that hangs under your chin when you wear them. No, they're the same shape as Churchill's beautiful glasses. And Churchill's, remember Churchill's beautiful almond eyes because his mother was Filipino? No, you don't remember that. That's a different, I'd say I'm in all sorts of timelines, you know, and so I don't remember what reality, you see, time travel is interesting in that I'm not really ever in the same reality ever again. See, people think you go back and forth in time on the same in the same universe, and you don't. You actually jump universes. So it's all screwed up. So I go back in time. That's because things are all set already, right? So I have to jump to another universe. In that universe, who knows what things will look like? All the Doctor Whos are all messed up. They're all different. And one of them was Marty Feldman, which in the universe that I just came from. I love it. I know. But I tell you what, so the mystery of the glasses. So I had these glasses that made me look like, Amy Pond, really, if we're going the Doctor Who way. And I love them, and they caused me to be able to read the computer screen. See all the funny things. What new meme has Richard Dawkins come up with? And so I need them now. I'm dependent on them because I like to read. Oh, I like to read. Especially I like things in 10-point type or smaller. And so I really need my reading glasses, so-called. And I carry them around. But, you know, they're with me so much that they're just like, you know, something that we're used to, like a portable ear or something we're used to carrying around like that. That's not something we have. Just, Tycho Brahe, who was a astronomer way, way back before Neil deGrasse Tyson and what are some other astronomers? Kepler. No, but he might have been around there. Anyway, Tycho Brahe was missing his nose one day. So he decided to call up his nose, say, I love you. No, he was missing. His nose was gone. I think he lost it in a duel or something. I don't know what people used to duel with that you'd lose a nose. That's kind of a funny angle, unless you were turning away when the sword was coming by. I was just turning my head, and he got my tip of my nose. Normally, my ear would be gone. But he had no nose, and so he had an artificial nose made up and made of gold. I guess so it wouldn't be conspicuous. So, oh, that looks like your natural gold nose. Really? Is it the closest flesh-colored mineral? Is there another mineral that's, oh, your nose is beautiful. What is it? It's mica, opal. Is what it is. Oh, it's beautiful. It looks fleshy. It looks marble. So it's marmoreal and fleshy at the same time. Beautiful nose. But it wasn't. It was gold. And I guess if it's soft enough gold, it's malleable. Wouldn't that be fun? If you were Tycho Brahe with your gold nose, you're pinching it into all sorts of Lucille Ball, when she had that nose made of putty. Are you with me? Are you thinking back of how funny it was? I used to call my friend on the telephone. I'd be watching like funny shows in the afternoon after school. So like, you'd see what Shep just did. And that's become like, I feel like that's my brand. If I got tattoos, I would have that on my back or something. Did you see what Shep just did? Because, oh boy, that's been my whole life right there. So I'm carrying around my glasses the other day and somebody came to the door. Something people are always wanting to do work around my house. And there's a fella come to the door. He said, I got a cleaning solution. What if I told you that I could clean all your, I don't know what he was saying. He was doing some kind of boardwalk spiel for a nondescript cleaning fluid. He could have had anything. Lord knows what it was in a spray bottle. Somebody in New Orleans ever spray something on your shoes and you go, holy cow, what'd you just know? I don't want no shoe wash. But this guy came up to the door and I said, Mom, I don't really buy cleaning fluid door to door. Why? I don't know. Because I think I won't be able to find you if it doesn't work. That's what I'm worried about. I buy your cleaning fluid. It turns out to be urine with some tea tree oil in it or something. And how do I find you? Same way with magazine salesmen. I'm excited that you're doing this to put yourself through college. But what if I buy Modern Photography and it doesn't come and I don't have any way of reaching you? And they say, well, that's the plan because... where this is kind of you know, sketchy. In fact, the company's called Sketchy Sales. Oh, he was good. Sketchy Sales back in my day. So this fella comes to the door. He's telling me, well, I'm not going to leave. Like, you can try to get me away, but I can't. This is going to be a little bit Kafka now. You're going to have to say the right things to dismiss me. Otherwise, I have a response for everything. And this all-in-one cleaning solution, it can do anything. Look, even now. When I was in French Lick, Indiana recently, I saw the Pluto factory. Now, this is that where they make Plutos? No. So it's a Pluto factory. What they used to make is mineral water, what they used to bottle mineral water from the mineral springs there in Indiana. And that mineral water was a physic. What's a physic? It's a laxative. It was high in magnesium, much like we have today. We call something called Epsom salts. You can go and get it at your drugstore. Take a couple teaspoons of this Epsom salts, put it in water, drink a glass of water, and it'll help you make. You will mow all day long. So, not to the profound extent that the thing you take before your colonoscopy does, but, you know, it'll loosen things up. Things will flow. Have some Pluto water now. Let the Orinoco flow. That Orinoco is what I call my colon. It's most people don't have pet names for their organs. I do, because I figure I might be holding on to them my whole life. So fast, this Pluto factory where they made the water that helps you go to the bathroom, as my grandmother would say. So go, that's not what actually, you're not going to the bathroom. I can go to the bathroom in the woods. So you're not going to the bath, you're moving your bowels. Oh, that's an expression that I always found very funny. So anywhere I am, anywhere I hang my hat is my home. Anywhere I poop is my bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. I'm in the bathroom. No, you're not. You're in my front lawn. Dogs are like that. I imagine anywhere I am, there's a little stall around me. So I have no, I'm just looking. I can see you, but you can't see me. I think that's what dogs think. Because they don't look around like, is anybody watching me poo? They just kind of sit there like, no one's watching me poo. They can't. I can see them. So I visited this factory. I'm going to get back to the glasses. The glasses are very interesting, but I can't tell you about the cleaning fluid and get the glasses unless I tell you about the Pluto factory where they used to make mineral water. They don't make it there anymore because people don't want bottled water that gives you diarrhea. I don't know why. It sounds awesome. But so now what do they make there? 409, the cleanser. And all sorts of cleansers. I wonder if it's the same stuff. Turns out it's the same stuff. So I don't know what this guy's got in the bottle, whether he's got Pluto water, ordinary Pluto water, or whether he has the formulas come out of the war. Formula 409 is what they called it. Then that was the secret code name for it. It turns out I think it's ammonia. But then we had codes for everything. Because during the war, I tell you what, during World War II, everything's secretive. You got to hide everything from the people. Well, how are the people going to conduct a war if everything is secret and hidden from them? Ah, ha, 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 ha. I took my glasses off, which helped me see, and which I need and upon which I'm dependent. And I'm talking to the gentleman, and I go back and read the computer, and my glasses are gone. And I immediately think, he stole them. No, I didn't think that at all. I'm thinking, there's no way he stole them. Where are they? Where are my glasses? These are things what did I do with them? Now, to make a long story short is a tragedy, I think, when you could make it longer. Why, all stories are short and they're just fleshed out. There would not be any genre called short stories, all right? If it weren't for the fact that novels are just stories that become bloated. You know, do you ever see somebody say, oh, that person's so large, I wonder if they're eating an extra burger or something extra shoved in there. It's just space we don't need. It just seems like it's there, like when you're padding an essay in school. In conclusion, and to sum up, and I feel like if you can't, just the stories really are pretty short, aren't they? And but we'd like to put in detail and everything like that. Take Moby Dick and take out all the description of whales and cetiology and everything. And what have you got? Just a basic story of a guy floating on a coffin in the middle of the water. But I digress. So it turns out my glasses were at the bottom of the garbage can. Now, what made me look there, I do not know. Something was, maybe they were calling me.
Hardy, come get me, you've abandoned me.
I would never do that to you, little glasses. I need you. You're part of me. You make my face look smart.
I want to be with you.
I want to be with you, but I've lost you. Oh, when you lost something, you don't know where it is. You go looking for things. You go, how could I have been gone through my life like that and not know something important like that happened? That my glasses went into the garbage. How did I not notice? And then you think, this might happen all the time. First you say, this might happen all the time. And then you go, why did I say that? Say, this might happen all the time. Or am I throwing my glasses away figuratively without even knowing it? I feel like I'm going through this life without knowing what I'm doing. Oh, friends, do you feel lost? You say, what am I supposed to do? I don't know where I threw my glasses. I'm alone and adrift in life. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I feel that way too. Oh, my goodness. Here's one solution. Here's all you have to do. If you feel like you don't know who you are, what you're supposed to do, what your point in life is, you feel very lost. And because that, you may feel very frustrated. And because you feel very frustrated, you may experience rage. And you may, in that rage, throw your mower against the tree. You don't want that. Not ultimately. Oh, there's two different yous. There's rage you working against you, and there's normal you, isn't there? So how do we prevent this? Maybe if I felt more like I knew what was going on, who I am. Okay, here's what you do. You don't know who you are, what you're supposed to be. If you have a shirt on, look, there should be a tag. Now, sometimes it's by the collar under the sleeve there. Now, look for it, and it should. If there's a tag there, it might have a description or a name on it, and it might say, Savior of the Universe, or it could say, Dancing Mountain Climbing Guide, or something like that. Might just have a name on it, like Falila, or something like that. Intriguing. Now, that's who you are. Now, if that's not there, burden lifted. No problem. Oh, you don't have to worry. You're just an extra. I think you're just an extra. You can do whatever you want. Some of us are going to help just stuff backstage. We're not all in it, I don't think. But that's fine. For me, that's liberating. I do not want to play the sergeant in Monkey's Paw. The play. What a short but wonderful play. Let me tell you about what this is. So this fella, I was in a lot of theater in high school. And people would say to me, Hardy, you should be in theater. I say, why? Because you're always talking and lying. And I think that we're trying to find an appropriate place for that. Thank you. And they said, theater, clergy, lawyering. I go, well, now, hang on, back up now. I can't be a lawyer. I'm not very responsible. I don't want to be responsible for people's, you know, future, what happens to them, life and death, things like that. But gosh, I could be clergy and tell people what to do with their eternal soul. Yeah, that's no problem. If I'm having a bad day and I get it wrong, oh well. Oh, I'm telling you, oh, I think, are we being led by people that aren't even as nice as we are? That's, I think, sometimes I say, boy, that moral leader, he's not as nice as my granny. Man, my granny should be out there. She's pretty accepting and loving. Everybody loves her, trusts her. I think when any kind of moral leadership comes with this mower-throwing rage, then it's not good. Oh, my friends, we're so weak, I'm going to give you, I speak to you with the authority of someone already dead. Are you already dead, Hardy? I am in a way, I tell you why. Because I've had to step away from life a bit. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I look at it and I'm scared and sometimes I'm repulsed and I'm so angry sometimes at other human beings, what they do to each other, the pain that they inflict on one another. Oh, and by far the worst sin is that of violence, of taking lives. Do it so cavalierly and then talk about it as if it were such a cavalier act. That person deserves to die, or they did this and they should die, something like that. Oh, listen to yourself. When you are a little child, a little children, when you're around them, you will see that they'll get a moral lesson really quickly. You say, oh, don't poke that duck in the eye. It hurts him. Oh, okay. So they're walking along, so somebody's poking a duck in the eye. I say, look, that person's poking a duck in the eye. Don't. You're hurting the duck. And the person says, well, eye poking is really part of what I do. And as we get older, we learn to rationalize these things that were initially repulsive to us. It's like getting used to drinking whiskey or something. You drink it when you're a kid, you go, oh, this tastes like poison. Here's the thing. It is. But as you get older, you go, hey, you know, poison. And, you know, I'll trade the good feeling for a few minutes for the, you know, repercussions, the consequences of drinking poison and all that. And as we get used to things that we should never get used to. I'm not saying don't drink whiskey. It's just I'm making a comparison. That's all. Oh, friend, I don't want to upset you. I do and I don't. Oh, bless you. I don't know. People come to me and they say, oh, Hardy, and then they tell me a problem. And they say, what should I do? And I say, honestly, I'm so sorry I wasn't listening. I was just trying to be present and with you. And I don't want to try to solve any of your problems. I just want to try to just chime in, just say one little thing. And that is, if something seems mean and awful and violent, it is. I said, well, that seems pretty obvious. No, we fool ourselves. Oh, my goodness. We fool ourselves into thinking that throwing the mower is going to make the mower run. What makes the mower run? Something chasing it. I wish that everything was animated, like in the cartoons, the little mower had a face. Everything had a face. You had to face the consequences of doing violence to objects. That they would say, what are you doing? Get a hold of yourself. Stop throwing it. Because one thing you throw a dish, the next thing you throw dishes, your little puppy. So don't do that. Don't do that. Let's all be calm. Oh, my goodness. I don't want to. I know that I was raised in a way that, and I had some older male relatives sometimes, that really wanted to let you know that they were dangerous. Oh, my goodness. Don't mess with me. I may not look like much, but I'm scrappy. Oh, I'm dangerous. And their personal power like that, their personal strength was very important to them. To have pride like that. Now, as I was growing up, I realized, and this is, I was in something called PE, or physical equivalency. It lets children see how inferior they are physically to other children. And I saw, hey, I'm the worst. I'm the weakest. And I saw that really quickly in school. So I literally was the worst and the weakest. So that's not possible, Hardy. Follow me. It really was. So I say, well, now, what do I do with that information? What do I do about it? In a society where strength is so important, am I not really a man? Am I not really a human? What am I? Because I can't do the sports, or I can't even run a mile or something like that. What's wrong with me? Am I inferior? Well, yeah, in a way. I am. Maybe I'm not strong, but whatever. I mean, you know, I could work at it, maybe get a little stronger. And I like to hit some sort of nice medium there where I'm not beating up on myself for being weak and not feeling like complete failure. At the same time, realize I have a little room for improvement. Now, how did you get there? By banishing rage. Oh, I confront those bad things, not with rage, but with a little bit of tenderness. I let myself be briefly wounded. You start throwing a spear at me. And this is what I'm going to allow happen. I'm going to let you get the first jab with that spear. You say, well, that could kill you, Hardy White. So be it. So be it. You may stab me with that spear. Because I want you to see it hurts me. I'm not going to pretend that I'm physically, emotionally, spiritually superior to you. Go ahead. Yes, you can hurt me. Yes, you can kill me. Yes, you can make me sad. Oh, you have tremendous power over me. Go ahead. What will you do with it? I'm going to choke. I'll make you choke to death on it. Well, that's bad. Don't do that. How did you do that? By blowing a little piece of wood bark into your throat or something. Well, now you got me. You have silenced me. But I let that happen a little bit. You know, okay, I'm going to let you make me. I'm not really afraid to be sad or feel crummy because so many people feel worse than that, right? So I let myself be a little wounded, a little damaged in a way. And I found that, and this was because I have no power. And then as I get older, I didn't have as much influence as an adult as I thought I would have. I was on the fringe of it. And other adults could tell. You go to parties or something, they go, oh, I can tell what you are. You're some sort of man-child or something. I am. And so, you know, you realize, you go, boy, I got no real power, except for when people mistake me for something. That's to say, oh, look at his, a middle-aged white fella. He must be somebody. So, all right, well, I'll take it. I know it's not just, but, you know, if you're going, go ahead. Because I'm just a quivering, weak, fearful person over here, you know. But I tell you what I could do. I could use that feeling of weakness. I can use that feeling to be powerful in defense of those who need defending. And I tell you, that's what I try to do, put out my heart to you, bless you. Oh, which I wish we could be in the lives of others for just forever. That would be great, wouldn't it? Oh, my friends, talking about mowing and lawns, talking about I don't have a lawn to mow, Hardy. Oh, you know, nothing I talk about is literal. I talk about lawns, but what I'm really talking about are things at the quantum level. No, I'm not really that smart. Please don't try to think of anything too deep right now. Don't go too deep. You know why? You'll get cramps. That happens with thinking, too. You go, so if I think too deeply, it's nice down there, but you get hypnotized. I saw a movie one time about free diving. So man's going to dive down there, and he's going to free dive as low as he can go without any oxygen. But his brain became addled when he was down there, and he became enamored with the hallucinations of mermaids. And sometimes when we go too deep, we become enamored with the hallucinations of mermaids. And here I am, now I am on this radio show, swimming down here with the mermen and mermaids and their merpets, which are all sorts of shapes and all kinds of sea creatures, or land creatures, but with tails. So go ahead and work that out, whatever you want to see with a tail. Very funny. Oh, look at that. They used to have cards you could do that. Say, oh, it's a fish, and here's a little, look, it's got a tail of a bear. That's not super interesting. That was a poor example. I'm so sorry. I myself am a poor example. I hope that I'm never abducted by aliens as to represent the human race. I could never do it. So, but maybe you can represent the human race in your imperfection. Oh, that's so nice of you. But again, I'd really rather not go. I think I'm just going to stay here. I want to stay here and bless you. What can I do to bless you? So, Hardy, sing one of the old folk songs. Oh, it's one of the old English folk songs, like up in the mountains. A lot of mountain, those old folk songs that people sang in a high, lonesome voice, which you can only do far away from a microphone and a microwave. That ruins it, up in a cabin in the mountains, you know. Oh, death, oh, death. Beep, 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 beep. Hey, somebody's coffee. Somebody's coffee's ready. I was interrupting my ballad. So I will sing my high lonesome ballad to you, but I won't. It's not going to really be that. But I wanted to sing the old folk songs about the old tragedies so we can remember together. That's how people communicated tragedies in history, you know, those old folk songs. They'd be like, oh, me wise, some man killed her. Bah. Awful. Poor Omi Wise, first of all. They threw in a river or something. I forget the man's name. I don't remember the murderer's name. I remember the victim's name. But stuff like that. Poor Charlotte and everything. Oh, she didn't take her cloak because she froze to death. See? And we learn from those tales and everything. What type of tales do we tell one another now? What kind of folk songs do we sing? Oh, everything you see is what we're... what's culture? You're soaking in it. You're... TV and radio and movies and everything you hear in the media are all Palmolive soap. A friend on Twitter forwarded me a piece of information about a medieval saint whose body is preserved in, I want to say Italy. No, actually, I want to say a bunch of silly words that don't make any sense, but I'm saying Italy. And I think it was there. But she's preserved in there. She's a mummy. And you know my fascination with mummies. And they say her hand is perfectly preserved. It hasn't changed at all. It hasn't rotted or desiccated or anything. It's a perfectly silky little white hand. And I immediately thought about that ad about you should put your hand in dish soap. Why? Because it'll make your hand last forever. Or something like that. Really? Yes. You can have your hand will last forever if you put it in dish soap. And then you can be a perfectly preserved mummy. And then my body will last. Wow, what do we want to last about ourselves? My ears? I mean literally. You know? My leg? No. No, start thinking in a different way. My tattoos? No. No, again, not physical. I just was using that as an example, mummies and everything. My teeth? Again, I went more like legacy, you know, or something. Is that important? Not necessarily. Is it necessarily important? Not for you. No. Oh, my goodness. I get all confused what's important for me and what's important for others. I think you got to pretty much make it up because you got to convince people that you should do something for somebody else could be pretty illogical. You've got to come up with all sorts of reasons for some folks. Some you don't. Depends on how intact your amygdala is. If I just feel sad and I want to go help somebody, I don't have to think much about my morality. But if I didn't have that part of my brain, I'd have to think for a minute, what's in it for me? Should I go help that person? Oh, we're all configured differently, aren't we? Oh, that's why it's difficult to come up with one rules that fit all. I just try to look at it and I try to navigate things as best I can. It is a chess game. All the pieces are always coming up in different positions, but they always seem to move in the same way. But no two chess games are alike, just the way that no two fingerprints of a snowflake, and yes, snowflakes have hands, you're not looking closely enough, no two are alike. And when they bring a snowflake into the police station and they get its little fingerprints, they look at it and they say, you are unique and you are a marvelous little snowflake. And then, I don't know what they do to it, violate its rights or something like that. See, is there no justice in this universe that snowflakes don't last, nothing lasts? There's murder and justice, people never come back. What's going on, Hardy? I'm so confused. Oh, all I can say is this. To get there, you got to lose the map a little bit. You got to put away what you think is true, what you know about your history. And there needs to be a sort of rebirth in your brain about who you really are. And what you're really meant to do in this world and what you can do in this world. And you need to think about that because you're being distracted by lawnmowers and gyms and big chain gyms and big three-story, four-story gyms where you go and you run on a treadmill in a business, in a building, on the fourth floor. You're running, but you're not going anywhere. But you need to get your waist slim because you know the judge. People judge by appearances. And also you want to look good because you want to have fabulous physical relationships with people. And so you want to be your best. And you don't want anybody to think that you're not out there doing everything that you can do to be perfect. That's why you go in there and do that. Not just to maintain health. Heck, you can be healthy walking around the block. That's not why we do it. We go out. We want people to think that we're special. We want people to think that, yes, and all through this history, who has mastered this life? I have. Look at me. I'm strong. I'm happy. I'm doing it. I'm winning. Nobody wants to think, I feel like I got in a house of cards. I got the first story built, and then I got sick. And then I spent the rest of the time just feeling sick and in bed and sick. That's life. Oh, my goodness. But what are you? Hurry. I'm a moment snatcher. I'm gonna come and steal a moment. I look around for a tiny moment. I stop time with my mind. What we gonna do? I don't know. I don't mind. Listen,
That's what I'm trying to do, is stop my time a little. I would love to talk to you about all sorts of current events, but I don't know what current events are. I don't know what's current. I don't know what's an event. I've been so scrambled through time. All I want to do now is, I'm so addled. I'm so stupid. I just want to go around hugging everybody. I just want to run every time I see somebody that's got eyes, or somebody that looks like a person, something animated. I don't know. You could be a little squid or something. I still want to come up and hug you. I still want to confess my humanity, my life to you. I want to confess everything to you. Say, I'm so lost and scared. Are you my mommy? I want to be completely defenseless. I'm tired of pretending I know how to do this. I'm tired of pretending I can do anything about it. Go ahead. Take me now. Go ahead. Go ahead. I have no more right to live than you do. No more right. I am no more loved than you are. But I'm not going to pretend that I have any power. Boy, I'm foolish. And I'm just putting this out there as the most foolish, powerless man ever to walk the face of the earth and to ever have a radio show. That, my fellow man, I love you. And I want you to love each other. At least please, everybody. I'm begging like a child. Always I do this every once in a while. I just beg like a child. Please, stop yelling. It's scaring me. And you won't stop. You don't mind if you scare an old man, you know. But do you have anything in your heart for a child? See a child crying or scared? Something. Some image. Bring up something in your mind to scare yourself out of being a butthole. Gosh, you got to. You got to face that. Got to get that rage and fire it. You're fired, rage. Get out of here. We don't need you. I'm not even mad firing you. I just want you to take your stuff and leave. Go, rage. And rage, of course, knocks down the door and everything, breaks a bunch of stuff on the way out. Doesn't matter that it's not in rage's self-interest. That's just the way rage works. That's the way destruction works. That's the way it's not a tornado's job to build houses, right? But we avoid the tornadoes. We try to get away from them. We try to build structures that can endure their destructive power. Oh, my friends, I can't believe I found my glasses at the bottom of the garbage can. But I wouldn't have found them if I didn't think to look in the bottom of the garbage can. Where are you looking for your answers? Maybe you lost what you need in a trash heap. Maybe you lost what you need in things that you discarded because you thought, oh, I'm just going to throw away what's in my hands, and you were clutching something precious. Oh, don't look for the big things. Look for the little things. Oh, I feel so rich. Any wealth that I have some material wealth. I'm not going to lie to you. I got some things. Most of them inherited from family that's dead. But I have things, all right? But the things that are most precious to me aren't things at all. And you know what the most precious thing to me is? My foolish weakness. I love it. What's your superpower, Hardy? Easily wounded. Go ahead, try it. It's amazing. You know? I promise I won't turn it to anger. And I'll try to stay connected to you. I try to ask why. Why are you doing this? Oh, my friends, I hope you're getting what you need. Say, I need some soup. I wish I could write a song. Listen, I'm trying to write a song. Working in the towel section of the store. When the bell rings, no one wants to leave more. The next day, I don't want to walk through the door. I hope my cereal gets poisoned. I can't do it. I was trying to write a sad country song about how did I end up in this job? How did I end up in this? You might be asking yourself, why am I not a 4-star general? Why am I not a circus performer? Well, I'm glad you're not, but... why am I not? None of those things are good, too. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. You don't want to be any of that. But you think, gosh, my life didn't turn out exactly the way I thought it would. I was reading, you know, when we read history books, and they tend to pick people that are notable, and a lot of them are notable just for, you know, being forceful, you know, being bossy, things like that. You know, we don't read history books about how to live just a normal life. So we tend to make our heroes some kind of pattern. Oh, so yeah, I guess I'm pretty much going to live George Washington's life. Yeah, you going to start a country? Because that seems like
not like viable for a lot of people. Start a country. Well, why don't you do the surveying part? Just be 6'2", have a large butt, and survey. There you go. That's enough. But you can't do all those other things. That's not for you. Come on. How do we live these little quiet lives? And they don't have to be quiet, desperate. You know, they can be quiet, and can they be content? No, not 100% of the time. Nothing's 100% anything. You know, this great tragedy and this great sadness in life. And that's why Hardy wants to be your friend. I just want to be your little friend, goofy little friend. And I would see my relationship to people. You ever remember the cartoon where there's a little mouse and he's bothering a bigger W.C. Fields mouse? And the W.C. Fields mouse is going, go away, son, you bother me, like that. And the little kid won't stop talking. What are we doing, mister? What are you doing, mister? That's the kind of relationship I have with everybody in life. That's, I feel like that little mouse. What are we doing, mister? What are we going to do? We're friends, right? Blah, 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 blah. That little, oh, and how endearing. And that little mouse needs somebody like W.C. Fields who won't reject it, won't kill it, will tolerate it, doesn't have to be the same personality. All right, but they can exist together. They need one another. So I'm not saying don't be cool. Don't, you know, you got to be a blubbering idiot like me. But I just want you to have a quiet realization of your own powerlessness, you know, and then do what you can in that. It's liberating. It's very liberating. I know that just about everything I do is futile. But it doesn't matter. That opens up the field for me. Within that, I can do anything. Oh, my God. If there is no wind in the race, I'm just going to run as fast as I can to feel the wind in my face. If there is no wind in the race. If there is no wind in the race, then I'm not going to make myself sad when I stumble. When I'm thirsty, I'm going to stop to drink. I'm going to continue to run, though. I'm going to continue to run because my thirst is to move ahead. My thirst is to keep going, to have more experiences, to see more of this road, to see what happens, to see as much as I can. I will not see the end of the race. Oh, no, I won't see the end of the race. I'm just going to experience what I can right now and try to, if somebody stumbles, I'm going to pick them up, though. I'm going to pick them up because I know what it feels like, and I don't want anybody to feel that. So I can help them and still not lose anything. I'm still not going to lose. Because there's no winning, there's no losing. It's just running. Oh, run with me. Run with me. Run with me in a big field of possibilities. We're out here. Oh, let's do it together. Not do it. I don't mean like that. I mean run in the field. I'm tired of sitting in the shade. You know what? I feel a little tiny bit like I'm going to be sick. Probably just dehydrated. I'm going to walk back and get a water. You stay running free in the field. How about that? Wouldn't that be nice? Do something. Build something big. You ever see Wicker Man? Build something like that. Nothing dangerous or anything. We'll just go up in it and play. But really, again, 2 seconds, I'm just going to sneak over here. Have a little. I might actually be sick. But I'm going to get some water, and we'll see. I just bit off too much. I just thought I had more. It's sunny. I should have known. I didn't have a hat or anything. I should have no business out here running around like that. No business. Oh, there's nothing better than to be welcomed. I love to feel welcomed into people's houses. I love to when they have me into their lives. And when they can be honest about their own shortcomings. That's why I like people. I say, oh, I like people old, you know, beaten down. Something's happened to them. And they're like, okay, this is going to be it then, I guess. This is who I am. That's it. Content. Because it's hard to deal with people who aren't happy with themselves. You know, they can wreak a lot of havoc. And you say, oh, well, they hate other people. They must hate themselves, too. Can you imagine? How could you live with doing harm to somebody like that? So many things going on. God help change these people. God help find them. God help find them. Let's go in their house. No, we can't do that. Just go into their houses? No, you can't. No, you can't just walk into people's houses. If you're super, like, crazy on drugs, though. Yeah, I guess. I don't think that's what we want to do, though. I don't think that's what we want to do. Oh, we can dance together, though. Dance with me. Come on, dance with me. What kind of dances do you do? I don't do a lot. I've learned a lot. You know what I used to watch a long time ago is Dance Party USA. I used to watch Dance Party, and I believe it's from Philadelphia. Was it Philadelphia or New Jersey or one of them? And I used to watch the kids dance and everything. And say, oh, I remember that show. And before they had other shows too, right? Like the Dick Clark one. Oh, I forgot the name of it. What's it called? The Dick Clark Show. Archie Bunker's Place. Not that one. But Dance Party USA, and the kids would dance on like that, and what joy it would bring me. And not always when they were dancing well. I mean, they could be, you know, it's like, oh, I could, any joy, dancing, watching it, whether it's good or bad, brings me joy. I would like, even when people can't dance, like at a wedding or something, somebody's just drunk and they're trying to dance, just moving that body in a way where all your dignity sort of slips away, and you enter into this space of sort of uber dignity or something. There's a great dignity in being undignified. There's a great power in not caring that you look foolish. And you can fool people, disarms people. You know, they put down their arms because they think, well, you seem non-threatening. That's my goal. That's my personal goal. None of the things that I prescribe for myself, you should take. Just like I don't go into my granny's medicine case and take all, well, these are good for granny. They must be good for me. Taking a bunch of blood pressure medicine that's not mine. My medicine may not be your medicine. What I'm saying is go to the medicine store. Check things out. See what's right for you. Ask your doctor about Bionla. It might be right for you. It helps you. Look how much brighter the colors are if you use it. Things are louder, too. I can hear things I couldn't hear before. I hear the music in the spaces between the walls. I hear the music in the spaces between the leaves. I hear wind blowing through. What's it blowing through? A flute. Oh, that makes sense. Kind of an Aeolian harp sort of thing. The wind is making the sound. Yes, it is. I hear music. I hear music in the air. Why is that? Well, because a bar opened up next door, and they're having bands over there, and they're doing a lot of covers. Oh, and if they play that funky music, white boy, one more time, I'm going to sue somebody. I may sue myself, because I blame myself in a way. Now, why'd you ever move here? I'm suing you. I think self-suing is a good thing. I'm going to do that. Take myself to court and talk to myself, especially rage self. I'd love to put rage self on the stand. Say, why'd you do it, brother? Why did you throw that mower into the tree? That's our mower. We needed to cut the grass. You wanted it to get better. What if it was a sick dog or something? Sick dog's not getting better. So you kill it? It doesn't make any sense. We need to heal the thing that mows our lawn. We need to heal our mower, our John Deere, whatever brand you have. Mine is a, what brand do I have? Nintendo or something. And we want it to work. That's the point. The point isn't getting the best of the mower. The point is making the mower mow the grass. And to mow it high so that it's healthy. Hi, I'm Hardy White. And why are you listening to me?
So it sounded like you were saying stuff.
Yes, it does sound like I'm saying stuff.
So I want to pay attention.
Because any time that somebody says something that sounds like instructions or knowledge or news, we like to listen. Anytime someone says something that sounds like a story.
I was walking the streets of my neighborhood late at night. The houses, some were lit, some were not. I saw lights in some of the windows. But other houses were completely dark. Were the owners not home? Oh! You're with me, aren't you? Paying attention?
Yes, I'm walking through the neighborhood with you. Isn't that interesting? You hear a story, you jump right on it. What if this story was a bunch of lies? What if I was taking you on a ride at the end of which I was going to do you harm? Stories can be like that, too. You hop in a narrative, and you go to what they call a secondary crime scene. Let me tell you that again, because I want you to hear it, and I want you to write it down and make a T-shirt of it. Sometimes we jump in a story as if it's a driver of a strange car. And he says, come on with you, I'm going to take you to get candy. And you get in the car, but you're really going to a secondary crime scene. Because that story's going to change the way you see the world. And it might be bad, you might have put yourself, your trust in some sort of story that's not right. Nowadays, when they give us news, they give us something called a narrative. Every time they bring you a news story, they want to plug it into some bigger thing that's a story about all of us, who you are. Everybody's got to be a character. Everything's got to fit into what they call a narrative. So that every story that happens has to be interpreted. This guy must have done it for this reason. Because of the lawnmower thing. Remember that? Let's tie it back into the lawnmower. Even if it has nothing to do with the lawnmower. And so a story is created. And when you create a story, you create inevitability for characters. This thing must happen. Because that's what this character does. That's what this group of people does. And you hop into that story and you don't even know that you're living in the holodeck, that you're living in a created fiction, a fiction that has you playing a role you might not even agree with. I don't want to be this. I know. Look at it. What do you do? Do you change the story? Do you hop out of the story? How do you change things? I'm trying to wreck the story. I'm sorry. I'm trying to take it, and I'm trying to tear it down, and I'm trying to tear down the idea story so that you get less dependent on endings, that you get less dependent on da 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 ba dum dum boop, neatly wrapped up things where everybody goes home happy and everything, that you become more content with things that are sloppy and half done, that you can more content with loose ends, with dangling prepositions and dangly bits that don't have to be tied up and made neat. That a poem doesn't have to rhyme, that a story doesn't have to end, that things can just meander and go on and on and on. And I'm telling you, it has nothing to do. I'm giving you a tour of a home. At the end, if you don't go, okay, I know that home, I can be quizzed on it. It's just, I'm just showing you stuff. So step out of the story. You don't have to be a character. You don't have to accept that the Browns live on First Street. Someone just made that it up. Yes. Oh, my friend. A lot of times, the stories that we are submerged in have been made up to control people. Like, don't go in that house. It's haunted. Don't go in that house. It's to keep children safe. You know, we'll tell them lies. Don't go over there. There's a witch lives there. So we tell them little lies in story form, and the rest of our lives we tend to believe that. Yep, I remember when I lived on First Street, there was a family called the Browns, and she was a witch. And you repeat that, because that story's been repeated to you. And you think, I would be dishonoring my dead parents if I did not repeat a story they told to me and they said was true. So if you're telling me that's not true, we got a problem, because I believe my parents and not you. Turns out your parents were lying. Now, what do you do with that information? How do I love and honor my ancestors? And knowing I've been lied to such a degree that I'm submerged in a story that's not true and it's controlling my life. What do I do? How do I do? This is what I do. I start, first of all, I'm going to give you a step-by-step guide to how Hardy White combats it all. How do I get out of this story? First, I start humming Cattle Call. All right, the song Cattle Call. I'll go. And before I get to the high note, I start listing presidents that never existed. Michelson, Merriam, Pickleton, Rogers, Lemming, Pinkington, Chalmers Moorgate. All right. And then after I'm done with that, then I do. You can't see this, but I'm gesturing dramatically with my hands near my face, like I want to touch my face, but it has a force field on it. Now, why is that? How does this all keep going? I'm giving you a recipe. You say, well, I don't know. Unless you tell me the ending, I don't know where this recipe is going. I don't know whether to follow it. Ah, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha. In the words of Jeffrey Holder. Ha, 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 ho, 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 ha. And then he'd say something about 7-Up or pens. He'd say, this big pen right here, because I'm Jeffrey Holder. And you'd say, well, that makes sense. And you'd go, yeah. And that's how we did things back in the day. That's how we knew they were good and right, because Jeffrey Holder would tell you. Oh, he's missed. I believe, is his widow still alive? Beautiful dancers, wonderful people. Wish we all knew more about our history. Oh, you young people, there's so many figures in history I wish you knew about. Oh, go back and read about people's lives. It's so amazing. You see how many options there really are to who you can be and how you can live in this world. How many problems we can solve. How we can be proud of our own character. What do you mean character? Not like character. What do you mean? Character, how you act and everything, your character. You mean like a clown? No, you're doing it to me again. You know what I'm saying. Why are you doing this? You love to frustrate me, don't you? Oh, sometimes it's just a big game, too. We love games. People like to be frustrated. I was at a casino recently. I know. You say, oh, I didn't think you were the gambling type, Hardy White. I am not. In fact, I find gambling to be, for me, no fun at all because I like money to spend it on something. I like to have something in my hand maybe when I'm done. I can give that away to somebody. I can do something. Or make something happen. But gambling just seems like it's an empty promise. You're paying for a possibility that's not going to come. But I thought, oh, I'll go play these slot machines. So I went and I was playing slot machines. Now, the way you do it now is you put the money in, okay, and it gives you some credits, and you just press this little button. You don't have to pull it anymore. Some people were plugged in. They had this card. It was connected on an umbilical cord, and they plug it into the machine, and they were sitting there pressing the button. And nothing was happening. All with the hope of winning something, going home with a little more money. Why? Just promises. Promises, promises. That's all I wanted. But, you know, I got out of there. After about four spins, I said, oh, this is stupid. I'm not getting anything out. And they don't even have fruit anymore. Maybe cherries, but it's like, I want one that's all fruit. Grapes and everything. They don't have them anymore. All pictures of other stuff and nothing. It didn't excite me. I said, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to gamble. I want to have a little more. I want to go in some place and come out with something. So more than a casino, I'd like one of those places you go in, they show you how to whittle your own spoon, and you come out with your own spoon. And knowledge of how to whittle a spoon. You come out with two things. I got something new and I got how to make my own. Those are the things that delight me. It's kind of school like that. And we could teach each other all those sorts of things. Oh, I'm sure you have so many things to teach me. And I have so many things to learn. I'm going to spend my whole life until I die trying to learn, trying to put out there. I tried to be cool. I couldn't do it. I failed at it. I'm a failure. Oh, failure at so many things. Are you a failure at radio? In a way, I am. And in a way, I'm a success. At the same time, that must be by design. No, that doesn't sound like it's by design at all. No, it's not. No, it's not by design. I don't know whether it was when I realized that I wasn't going to live forever. I wasn't going to be important. But I realized that I could do one thing. You know, I could share my mistakes the way I would with a child. And say, don't do this. I did that. Don't do this. Don't not feed your fish. They're going to die and your heart's going to break. So if I'm talking to you like you're a child, I'm not being condescending or anything. I'm really not. I'm just trying to speak in a way that I would if I was trying to tell somebody, you know, how to ruin joy, to give yourself pain. Say, I want to help you not do that by just being an idiot and telling you how I did it and not to do that. That's all. And I thought, well, if I do that, I could use the one thing that's keeping me back for good, for something productive, feel pretty good about it. You know what I mean? Like I'm pulling my weight. That's all we want to do is to feel like I'm contributing a little bit. A little bit. I helped today is all I want to feel like. And boy, if I helped you at all, friend, you blessed me so much. I don't know how long this is going to last. They'll let me just come on the radio and say nothing. I don't know how long that'll go on. But if I've said anything that's helped you a little bit or made you happy or got you motivated to do something, oh, that brings me so much joy. Thank you so much. And that's why I call this Miracle Nutrition That'd be a Cathead Biscuit for Your Soul on WMFU East, WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County, and online at WFMU.org. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week.
Yeah. For all of you out there, and I'll let you know now who make it possible each and every Saturday over 4:30, that is none other than Joe Tyler family at 1636 Mobile Road, Montgomery, Alabama 36108. And if you need to point me or information, anything that you need to ask Joe, just call him at this number 269-0100, and he will tell you whatever you need. And I tell you now, if you need used ties, you just go there, and he got them for $15 and up. You can get used ties, too, and new ties. He got them all. Whatever you need, Joe got it. And if you need a flat fix, you can't beat it nowhere. I'm telling you, $5, he just charge you only $5 to fix a flat. And it'll take but just a few minutes to do that. He is there dragging, but I guarantee you will drive out. Whatever you need, the problem is God. Joe is there for you, and he will do whatever you do, the work to be done. And also, we have brake pad for $20. If you need strut or anything, shock, whatever you need in a car, just ask Joe, and he'll fix it for you. And I'll tell you again, if you need to know any more information or appointment, just call him at 269-0100, and there Joe will give you the answer, and he will do the work for you. He met that new villa in Washington Park. Can't miss him, left neither right. If you lead to the light, just look to the right. If you come into the light, look to the left. He's right there, and you can't miss him in the middle of Washington Park on Mobile Road. And tell that Joe, that Ann Talbot, and the cheerful angel told you to come on in. And we just thank God for all of you out there. We just
you got to move.
You got to move.
You got to move. You got to move.
You got to move.
You got to move.
You got to move.
When the Lord get ready, you got to move.
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 When the Lord get ready, you got to move.
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 When the Lord get ready, sure got to move. You may be right,
you
may be wrong, you may be in the streets, and you may be at home. When the Lord get ready, sure got to move. Tell the gambler out in the streets, tell the policeman as he walks his beat, tell him when the Lord got to move. Tell the lawyer,
he's got to move.
Watch his urge,
he's got to move.
Tell the grand jury,
he's got to move.
Notify the judge,
he's got to move.
Tell them all when the Lord get ready.
Yes, ready.
Oh, courthouse got to move.
He's got to move. He's got to move.
Tell the government,
he's got to move.
Get ready too.
He's got to move.
Tell everybody,
he's got to move.
The Internal Revenue.
He's got to move.